The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now, there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from the heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of Christ, who was and is to come. Amen. I saw a picture of one of those roadside signs that are clever, and it said, "Be brave enough to suck at something new." Now, the language, I'll admit, is a bit raw, but it made its point. Moving out of what we know, trying something different, or challenging one's own beliefs requires courage, bravery, and action. It's far easier to just keep doing what you have been doing, no matter how unrewarding or unfulfilling, because you know the territory. But when we play it safe, success isn't always a good thing. And when we don't and fail, well, that's not always a bad thing either. When we try something new, we actually do something and we learn something. Because failure motivates us either to work harder or to try something new again. It keeps us humble, close to the ground. Remember that humble comes from that same root, hummus, not the stuff you put chips in, but hummus, which means of the earth. Close to the ground that we're created for, and boosts our empathy, for failure is absolutely part of the human condition. And when people around us then have similar experiences, they are not successful in ways they might have hoped, then we're able to relate to empathize with what they're going through. I've been walking with our friend Nicodemus this week. By all accounts, Nicodemus was successful. He was a Pharisee. That means he was educated. He had a position in the community. In this particular community, he was a leader not only in his own community, but also he had a position in Jerusalem, which was the center of the religious, cultural, and economic life of the country. But I can tell you that the writer of today's gospel seems less impressed with old Nicodemus, and biblical commentaries are pretty hard on him as well. So let's look at the story. Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night. He's unwilling to be seen with Jesus in the daytime. He affirms Jesus' identity. He says, "We know you are a teacher from God." But he remains bound to earthly constructs. And in the face of all the mind-blowing things Jesus tells him, Nicodemus responds with the unedifying, "How can these things be? How can these things be?" Those are the last words that Jesus offers in this exchange. He fails to get it. Unlike the woman at the well, whose story we'll hear next week, who is quite the conversation partner with Jesus, Nicodemus is in way over his head, and he is lost. He did not find what he was looking for. His time-worn beliefs got in the way of new possibilities. His encounter with Jesus, his reasons for coming to see him, he was a failure. It was a failure. And I will tell you that that is how I've previously understood Nicodemus, but for whatever reason this week, I find I have a much deeper affection for Nicodemus because he comes. He takes the risk and he comes to Jesus. He doesn't understand, but he's come. He comes in darkness and he leaves in darkness, but he is brave enough to suck at something new, like trying to understand Jesus. Like trying to comprehend the movement of the Spirit, like trying to lay hold of the living God. John's gospel, from which this story comes, is shot through with this dichotomy between darkness and light, but I think it is too easy and too simplistic, too cut and dried, to simply make the association darkness is bad and light is good. Remember, all of God's great miracles occur in the darkness. The creation, the pushing back of the Red Sea all night so that Israel is able to cross on dry land, the incarnation, and the resurrection. Our Lenten study, Signs of Life, begins with a reflection on light. But again and again, those who are speaking about light are reflecting also on the importance of darkness. For example, most of us choose to sleep in the dark. And that's got a lot of different levels of meaning. It's how we begin our life in our mother's womb. And it's how we restore our life day by day. There's a rhythm of light and darkness. And the restoration comes in the darkness. John's gospel opens with these famous words, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." One brother noted that it had been more than 20 years since he'd had an experience of the felt presence of God. But they had still been a rich 20 years where he had grown and deepened in his faith. God is there in places of darkness. There is nowhere, Scripture tells us, that God is not. Nicodemus may not have understood what Jesus was talking about that night, but we find in this encounter, this failure, the most famous words that we have from Jesus. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life." And those words immediately are followed on by the statement, "Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but..." but in order that the world might be saved through him. Too often, John 3:16 becomes just another simplistic dichotomy, saved versus unsaved, in versus out, and at its most dangerous, us versus them. But if you put John 3:16 with John 3:17, it is salvation, not condemnation. It is an invitation, not an exclusion. It is an opening of relationship that begins in darkness that continues to grow and change so that the world might be saved through him. We turn to our Lent in a Bag meditation. We have this scripture about Nicodemus, and we have the metaphor of a flower bulb, a metaphor for potential and change and hope. But there will not be any flowers unless the bulb sits in the dark earth for a time and is changed. Now, bulbs do what they're created to do, given the right set of circumstances. But human beings have choices. But even to see those choices, to see the possibilities, we have to risk change, and that means risking failure and being willing to suck at something new and persist. The story of Nicodemus doesn't end with this exchange. He will go on to challenge the justice of those in authority who condemn Jesus during the fall festival of the booths, reminding the leaders that our law does not judge people without first giving them a hearing. His fellow Pharisees were unimpressed with his argument, but he holds the day as Jesus was not arrested at that time. And the next time we hear of Nicodemus is on the terrible day of Jesus' execution, the nadir of human failure. After Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus, it's Nicodemus who shows up with more than 100 pounds of an ointment to anoint his body for burial. Nicodemus moves out of the cover of darkness and into the full light of day, willing to be held accountable and to account in front of all and in the face of so many who had deserted Jesus. And I wonder if it might be that we have this story because Nicodemus told it on himself. He recounted his own failure and what God did with it to those who would listen. This week we had our monthly dinner with Grace Lutheran, and we had a clip of an interview with Brian Stevenson, who's head of the Equal Justice Initiative and author of Just Mercy. Brian is a lawyer who's made it his life work to change the narrative for African Americans and others in the criminal justice system, where the criminal justice system has failed to be just. His life work is to pursue justice for those unjustly convicted. And he spoke of threats and violence and the many times he has failed in his objective. And then asked why he continues, why he persists, he responded, "I do this work because I believe there is something better waiting for all of us. I do this work because I believe there is something better waiting for all of us." Nicodemus got a glimpse of that something better, and he came to see Jesus at night. Weakness does not disqualify you from God's love. Failure is not a measure of one's worth, but opens the way for God to act in and through you, doing what you cannot do for yourself or by yourself. It opens a path for light to shine in new ways in the midst of the darkness. Friends, we are the best that Jesus has got. We are all in whom Jesus lives. In the Eucharist, we become what we have received, the body of Christ, and then we're sent to live, work, and care for the world that God so loves. the world that Jesus dies to redeem. May our failures and fears remind us of our need to rely on God for all things, that God's strength is made perfect in weakness. And may we be willing to suck at something new so that God may do a new thing in and through us. I close with a prayer attributed to Sir Francis Drake that inspires me and I hope will challenge you. Disturb us, Lord, when we are too well pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true because we have dreamed too little, when we arrive safely because we sailed too close to the shore. Disturb us, Lord, when the abundance of things we possess has caused us to lose our thirst for the waters of life, that having fallen in love with life, we've ceased to dream of eternity. And in our efforts to build a new earth, we have allowed our vision of the new heaven to dim. Disturb us, Lord, to dare more boldly, to venture on wider seas where storms will show your mastery, and where losing sight of land, we shall find the stars. We ask you to push back the horizon of our hopes and push us into the future in strength, courage, hope, and love. And we ask this in the name of our captain, who is Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.